The following is a paid program. The content has been provided by Glazer and Associates. WFTL, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Some of the opinions and endorsements provided herein were in exchange for compensation from Glazer and Associates.
Good morning. Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs. We're here each Sunday at 11 on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs PA. His law firm specializes in community association law and has offices in Fort Lauderdale, satellite offices in Orlando and Tallahassee. And we're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next, like snakes and alligators. Well, I would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condo and HOA questions no matter where you are in the state. Give us a call right here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the email the show tab.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Great to be back after a week off. And if you're a fan of the show and you'd like to read our blogs and newsletters, just make sure to go to our website at condocrazeandhoas.com. Join our email list, because by joining each week, you can get announcements about the show, our blog, our free seminars, our newsletters, updates on the law, and a lot more. As a matter of fact, tomorrow's blog topic at hoa-condoblog.com, post-turnover, the job of the new board of directors. And I can tell you, if there's ever an important time to be on the board, Karen, it's immediately upon turnover when the developer says, here, this is now your problem. And you better be on your toes, because there's some important statutory deadlines that if you blow, it's on you.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So, Eric, a lot has happened since our last show.
Yeah, definitely.
And you have a huge congratulations coming in two ways this morning. And, of course, the first congratulations, heartfelt congratulations from me, because I was there, is your son Brandon becoming a bar mitzvah.
Yeah, thank you, Karen. And, of course, congrats to Brandon. And, yes, you were there, and you honored us with your presence. And if I tell you, some absolutely beautiful gifts for Brandon and our family. I can't tell you how much that is appreciated, Karen.
My appreciation.
And
too.
I think Brandon did a great job that evening. Yes, he did. And the whole family is very, very proud of him. No two ways about it.
Yes.
Hope you enjoyed it.
I did very, very much. It was so interesting. I learned so much, and it was so great to be included with your family at such a pivotal time in Brandon's life. I've watched Brandon grow up. You and I have been doing this for 8 years, and he has turned into such a wonderful young man.
Thank you so much.
And it was an honor to watch that whole process. Then, of course, you received a great honor. This is really huge, too. And became part of the first group of attorneys to be board certified by the Florida Bar in condominium and plan development law. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you very much, Karen. And really, thank you to the Florida Bar for recognizing the fact that the practice of community association law is complicated. I mean, you guys hear it week in and week out on this show, right?
Exactly.
And that type of law merits special recognition for those attorneys who have truly shown expertise in what certainly I believe is a very complicated area. And in fact, if you look at the Florida Bar website, it specifically says board certification recognizes attorneys' special knowledge, skills, and proficiency in various areas of law and professionalism and ethics in practice. Imagine that. I'm ethical, too.
I love that. But you invented the course that circumvents the signing of the affidavit. You invented that. And it's, you know, obviously you should be board certified. It would be like if you're going to get plastic surgery, you want to go to a board certified plastic surgeon. It's the same thing now in this. Sure. And I think that's great.
You know, that's a great analogy. That's exactly right. That's how it is now. The bar was really did a wise thing and,
yes,
and acknowledged the fact that, hey, there are attorneys out there that can, you know, specialize it. And if you look, here's what the Florida Bar website says, right? So what actually is the practice of condominium and plan development law? So if you look at the website, the Florida Bar says, well, here's a couple of things that lawyers who practice in this area actually do. They serve as counsel to community associations, property owners, community association members, sellers, purchasers, developers, lenders, governmental agencies, and investors in matters related to community associations and plan developments. That's good to see. I got to tell you, a lot of the industry is dominated, unfortunately, and I'll say this, by attorneys who only represent associations. So I'm proud to say, you know, yes, sure, I represent a lot of associations, but I think I've always come to the table representing unit owners as well, and I think there needs to be a little more of that.
I think that's great, and you also open up the phone lines to them every week.
Exactly.
And there's
exactly.
so many people with questions that don't – and many of the unit owners come to your seminars, not just board members.
No two ways about it, and I got no problem saying this, and I think to a large extent – if we didn't represent their interests in Tallahassee, they would have almost no representation there whatsoever, because most of the laws are drafted simply with associations in mind.
Well, you
actually helped get
those laws
absolutely.
Passed.
We drafted a couple of them this year. So what else involves community association law, according to the bar? Drafting government documents or their amendments, preparing filings with governmental agencies that regulate community associations or plan developments, serving in or for governmental agencies that regulate community associations or plan developments, representing parties in construction, lien, and defect claims. That's really a specialty. As a matter of fact, that specialty, construction law, also allows for even a separate board certification. And I'm proud to say one of our attorneys at our firm, Penny Mays, is board certified in construction law.
Holy moly, that's awesome.
Absolutely.
You don't know how to build?
Right.
She started
out with Tinker Toys and worked her way up. Remember those?
Lincoln Logs.
Exactly, yeah. Collection of assessment actions, government documents, and community association statutory enforcement, dispute actions, right? We talk about them every single week. Other litigation, arbitration, mediation, right? Proud to say I'm a circuit court mediator. Planning, development, construction, and financing of condominium or planned development communities. I tell you, a lot of that's going on right now. Money is cheap. Right now, you can borrow money at really cheap rates, and we're finding that we're representing a lot of community associations now who are borrowing money at cheap rates rather than pass huge special assessments
that's big.
To make their unit owners, you know, make repairs and things like that.
So it's cheaper to make the payment.
Why specially assess everybody a whole lot of money up front if you can take out, you know, a seven-year loan at 4%?
That's beautiful.
It's almost free money. So
I love
that.
That's an oxymoron, free money. So when you practice community association law, it's really like you're practicing lots of different areas of. I mean, it encompasses a lot.
Exactly.
At the same time,
look at the stories that we hear. You know, week after week, how many different things community association law actually encompasses. And to me, that's what really makes it interesting. It's not just about foreclosures, for instance. You know, a lot of attorneys came into this area when the foreclosure market got hot, like 2008, 2009. All of a sudden, you know, those who were practicing buys and sells, you know, the purchase and sale of residential or commercial real estate, there wasn't that much of that going on. So they got into this area of law instead, because there was no buy and sell work. So, you know, and a lot of them, you know, didn't practice in this area, didn't know it too well. And that's why another reason why I'm glad that the bar said, well, let's differentiate the people that dabble in it and the people that are experts in it. And to me, it's about keeping the association out of trouble, negotiating contracts, amending documents, litigating against all kinds of parties. How about this? How about knowing the American with Disabilities Act, the Fair Housing Act, right? Discrimination claims.
So important.
Right? The topics really go on, you know, forever. It's really endless. But I got to tell you, to me, my favorite reason for practicing in this area is that, you know, you go into corporate law and you can wind up just sitting in a back office somewhere and you never get to meet a client, right? You can go on for decades, really never meeting your client. But for me, this is a really unique area of law where you need to have a lot of direct contact with lots of different people. You have to be constantly in touch with your clients.
And you are. I mean, you've got 10,000 people on your email blast, right?
I mean, we attend meetings all the time, right? We attend mediations. We teach classes all the time. There's so much person-to-person contact, so much direct client contact. And to me, that's really what makes it enjoyable. I actually enjoy it. You know, I'm in my my home run territory when I go out and I meet the clients.
I know you are.
Get to know them and really try to help them. And I'm honored really now just to, again, thank you to the Florida Bar. Honored to be board certified in this area of law.
Congratulations. And,
thank you.
You know, half the state lives in a condo or HOA development or co-op. I mean, so there's millions, like 9 million people.
Yep.
And you really, the lawmakers in Tallahassee don't know as much as you do about this. So I hope you're able to teach them something too would be great. But for someone, before someone decides to hire an attorney like you in this area, shouldn't they take board certification into consideration?
Yeah, I certainly think so. And I think the bar feels the same way. You know, there are lots of attorneys who we said, you know, claim to be knowledgeable in community association law. But in the entire state now, there's only 120 of us, I think it's 120, in the entire state, who are allowed to call themselves experts in this area.
Who determined that? Who?
A committee of the Florida Bar.
Oh,
so
okay,
you really get in there because of your peers.
Got it.
and that, you know, you get this recognition because, you know, every one of us proved that you're entitled to it, and the qualifications are rigorous. So board certification, yes, no two ways about it. It's one potential way of differentiating between attorneys who may have some knowledge as opposed to attorneys who the Florida Bar calls experts in this area. So, yeah, again, proud to be board certified now. But let's do this. Let's take our first break of the hour. Taking your calls. I see they're starting to roll in.
Yeah, we have
877-3 lined up. Okay, we'll take them when we get back. Taking your calls, everybody. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First, the technicians video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
Condominium Concepts Management puts your condo's interests first. Condominium Concepts negotiates the best prices and demands the best service from all the association's vendors and providers. There are no kickbacks, no add-up charges, no double talk, and all the savings are passed on to the association. Condominium Concepts Management understands they're there to help, not take control of your association. The licensed professionals work as a team with your board of directors to come up with joint ideas to make your community a great place to live. At a time when every dollar counts, Condominium Concepts prides itself on having reasonable fees, same-day response time, educated personnel, and an eye for reducing expenses for every unit owner. Condominium Concepts can also aggressively collect from the association's delinquent owners. Call Condominium Management Concepts, 772-618-5370 for a free quote. That's 772-618-5370. Learn how Condominium Concepts is helping the communities throughout the Southeast. Visit their website, condominiumconcepts.com.
Someday, you will need insurance. And for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities, all you need is Insurco. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs PA. His law firm specializes in community association law throughout the state. He is in Broward, but he is all over the place, including Tallahassee and Fort Lauderdale and also Orlando. Give us a call right here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Any questions you have for Eric, he will answer them for free. And it's a toll-free number, 877-850-8585. And if you have a product or service that are Condo Craze and HOAs listeners can use, why not become a sponsor of our Condo Craze and HOAs radio show? You can have a commercial during the show, have a display table at all of our live events that we do throughout the state, get to meet hundreds of condo and HOA board members. Your company's logo will be on the website, and it'll be posted on the Condo Craze and HOA's email blast that we send out every week, as well as in our newsletters that we send to tens of thousands of community associations all around the state. To find out more, just visit the show's website at www.condocrazeandhoas, all spelled out, com.
All right. How about we take our first call, Jerry in West Palm Beach. Thanks for holding, Jerry.
Yes. How are you, Mr. Glazer?
Good morning.
Just want to let you know, I think you have the best condo show in South Florida. Very informative, and very much needed in South Florida.
Thank you very much.
My
how can we help
today,
you?
Mr. Glazer, is regarding a possible conflict of interest. Our board recently fired our property management company and rehired a new property managed company. The question is, one of the board members works for that property management company that they just recently hired. Do you feel that's a conflict of interest if a full-time employee of that management company is also on the board that hires them?
Did the board member who works for the company participate in the vote?
I'm not sure how the vote turned out for hiring the new management company.
Okay, so to make a long story short, I think we taught this the last show. The law kept kind of going back and forth on this, where a board member couldn't, or a board couldn't do business with a company where a board member had a personal financial interest in the company, and certainly you can make that argument here. So that was the law literally for 1 year, from July 1st, 2017 to July 1st, 2018, right? So technically, as we speak, for another 3 weeks, yeah, it's the law that the board can't enter into such a contract. But as of July 1st, the law goes back to the old way, okay? So it was kind of like an experiment for 1 year. So what is the old way? So the board would have the right, the association would have the right to enter into a contract with a company that a board member has a financial interest in if the following things were done. A, the relationship has to be disclosed on the contract, and it's got to be disclosed at an open board meeting. B, that board member who has the conflict certainly cannot participate in the vote. And two-thirds of the other directors have to vote in favor of proceeding with the contract. And three, at the next meeting of the members, the unit owners have a right to cancel that contract with a majority vote of the people there with a quorum. Okay, so the answer is nothing wrong with it as of July 1st of this coming of next month, actually. It would be perfectly legal. Okay, so I hope that answers your question, Jerry. Calls
Thank you.
Are, you got it. Calls are backed up. How about we go to David, also in West Palm Beach?
Yes. Yeah, good morning. I want to know if can the management, I'm in a 22-unit HOA, can the management deny you the opportunity to pay, make payment, you know, in-office payment?
No, great question. So in other words, let's say they say you're behind. Your association says that you're behind in your assessments, whatever it is.
I'm not behind. Simply to make the regular payments in office as opposed to mailing it in where there have been problems of them getting the mail or doing it by portal.
Are you saying that they won't accept your payment if you actually walk it in?
That's correct.
They only accept it by mail?
As of July 1st, they said they will only accept it by mail.
Is it because,
or by portal.
Is it because it goes directly to a bank?
Yes, it goes directly to a bank.
Okay. I can understand, you know, I guess I can understand that because then it just becomes, you know, triple work. Why can't you just send it, you know, directly to the bank? I get it.
Except
yeah.
mail
so,
gets lost. There have been problems in the past.
Maybe you want to send your direct payment to the bank and with an email telling the association's management company, look, I sent it today. I know that's kind of double work too, but I think an association has the right to direct the manner in which the payments are made. I thought you were going down a different route, which is oftentimes associations say, well, let's just teach it because we kind of touched on it. Let's say an association says that you owe $800 in assessments, and you say, no, I don't, I only owe $400, and you walk into the office with a $400 check. Can the manager say, nope, we're not taking the $400, you owe $800, so you either pay the whole thing or we're not taking it? And no, the association is required to take, you know, any amounts of money that are tendered. There's actually some good case law on this where the appellate courts have said, you know what, maybe if they would have taken half the payment, it would have resulted in a negotiation, it would have resulted in some sort of a settlement, and it wouldn't have resulted in major litigation, so therefore we're not going to give the association prevailing party attorney's fees. So the statute makes it clear you got to accept the payment, and it's got to be applied in a certain way. First, it goes to interest and late fees and attorney's fees, and then ultimately to the underlying assessment that's owed.
No, that's not the case. The other question is, can they deny you being able to put up solar on your house because they claim that that you can put it up, but it can't be seen inside the community?
Is that a material
argument? You know what? There's a statute, and I don't remember, and it's a good question, Karen. No, there's another statute, and I want to say it's like 162 or something. I don't have it in front of me. And I just read about this recently where basically – And you would think that they kind of mix the statutes together, or the condo statute and the HOA statute would kind of refer you to the general, like, solar statute. But there's a statute out there that basically says, notwithstanding provisions in your governing documents, you can take steps to install solar panels, solar energy. There's even in the HOA statute, I believe, there's even a statute that says, regardless of what your documents say, you can install clotheslines. So you know how some associations say we would never allow clotheslines because it would look ugly?
Yeah.
You know, and make it look like the Lower East Side in Manhattan in the 1800s? Well, that's allowed regardless of what your governing documents say. So, yeah, I believe forget the restrictions contained in your governing documents. If you want to put solar panels, there's an overriding provision of the Florida statutes that would allow you to do just that.
That's what I thought. Okay, yeah. Thanks a lot.
Okay, really thank you, Dave. How about we go to Nancy in Boca?
Hi, I kind of don't know where to start. I've been investigating the situation here where I recently bought a home last year for about 9 months. The most recent thing is that this person that's on the board, the president of the board, I do not believe he shares anything that has transpired with the other board members. Most recently, he charged an assessment. It's due June 30th. We were notified a week ago. For legal fees, non-existent legal fees, I should say, special assessment to cover legal fees. Is he allowed to require a special assessment mid-year, not at the annual meeting?
Well, first of all, you say he passed an assessment, and a president can't do that by himself or herself. How many people are on your board?
Five. It's his cult, basically. They're uninformed. They're not aware.
Okay, but was there vote? Was there a vote on the special assessment?
Yes.
Okay, so it passed by a vote of the board, right? A majority vote of the board?
Correct.
Okay, So it wasn't him, so to speak. So, yes, you can pass a special assessment midstream in the middle of the year if you're running short, you know, you have a sudden expense that comes up and it's not budgeted for, and the only way to pay it is by special assessment. That's exactly the purpose of a special assessment, to cover unanticipated expenses. So, yes, if it's a legit expense, yes.
I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
Complicating matters is he also took out a $181,000 loan that no one's aware of because we haven't had any financial reports in 3 or 4 years.
Hmm.
And I've been trying to get records for 9 months.
Okay.
And
did the board vote on that loan, too?
I wasn't living here at the time, but I do know, having spoken to the person who was treasurer's family member, who was severely debilitated at the time after a stroke, she was coerced into signing off on that loan.
Okay, but did the board actually take a vote?
And no one's aware of it, and no one knows where it's going. No one knows where any of our money is going.
Well, send a certified letter, right? Certified mail, return receipt
been done
to your board.
Been done.
Get access to the records.
9 times over.
Right. How many units are in there? Because they'll have to put that up at the website, right?
If not in an HOA. This HOA or condo?
Condo.
Oh, yeah, Karen, you're right. How many units?
66.
No.
Not yet. Yeah, you got to get to 150. But send in the request, certified mail, return receipt requested, like you said. And if they don't give you access to these records. Okay, if they don't give you access to the records, then it's time to take the next step, which is actually file an arbitration action. Or file a complaint
with
the DBP.
Actually, I filed a report with. I did that. Filed the arbitration. I also filed a complaint with the compliance division of the state of Florida. And just to add this to the mix, there's 100 other facts. This person's wife was convicted by the United States District Court, Southern District of Florida, for making false statements to obtain a loan from a credit union.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
And she never paid it back.
So your argument is, well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, I guess, and you got to be a little more careful. And maybe that's the case. Don't know. But if you don't get access to the records, you'll never know. So the bottom line is that's where your focus needs to be. And the next step could be, if the state isn't helping you, then you need to file an arbitration action and get access to those records. If you win, you not only get access to the records, you'll get a $500 penalty, and you'll get your attorney's fees and costs paid.
Oh, do they have an attorney, the condo association?
That's another thing. They've gone through about five or six. They don't have a real estate attorney.
Gotcha.
It's someone that is a collections agency.
Gotcha. Well, you need help in that regard, give us a call in the office, 954-983-1112, 954-983-1112. But, Nancy, it looks like you're going to have to take that next step. How about we take our next call? Is it D, maybe?
Yes, it's D.
Hey.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. Mazel tov on your Brandon becoming a
bar
mitzvah, and congratulations to you. We have met. I have an ongoing problem in our condominium development of 50 units. The board is comprised of five unit owners, three of them, we call them the gang of three, run the show, and the president and the vice president can't do anything because they're shut down. Currently, we had an assessment last year, last May, for $3,000 to fix one building that had what they said structural and termite damage, because one of the board members living in that building had a leak that she let go for 2 years, and there was a lot of damage. One of the board members brought in her contractor to work on that building. He was shooed off the property, and because of, you know, ethics, and he tried to bribe a previous board member, and he started doing work, basically, and then he convinced the board that he doesn't only want this building, but he wants the six remaining buildings for tune of $1 million. So now we're 1 year later. The building is still not finished. There's been a group of people who have been very active against this, but they're working behind the scenes, met with the Boca building inspectors, the three top people. We got a stop work order, and they're going to watch him like a hawk. We discovered that he was using a special inspector to avoid city inspections, which weren't being passed anyway. He had no engineering report and basically was just ripping down the walls and putting them back together.
Right.
So now
Hold on. You said he was using his own special inspector. Typically, that's done by getting permission from the city to do that. You can only use your own special inspector if the city allows you. Did the city allow it?
As I said, I got a lot of records, but people here didn't even know. Actually, so at one meeting I said, who is our engineer? And they said this company, Two and Taylor. I looked them up and they turned out to be special inspectors. And then I did a lot of investigative work.
Right.
So basically, we haven't even passed all the inspections now. Everything is kind of ready for painting. He kind of abandoned the project. This has been going on 1 year for six units. In the middle of this work, he said he just kind of stopped. And he was waiting because he convinced the board again, because my friend was bribed, and I know that, you know, he's extended the same offer to her when she was on the board, that they are lining their pockets, because it's just very apparent that everything they're doing is self-serving. So now we got a commitment from a bank for $840,000 to finish the six buildings. I believe what's left in the six buildings is mostly cosmetic. I'm not saying there isn't any kind of other damage, but we were supposed to be painted in 2014, and we weren't. So basically, he just kind of like dragged his feet, gave us a song and dance, and I know he was waiting to see if we got approved for the loan. Now that we're approved, the commitment is only extended to June 15th. June 13th, we're having a meeting, okay? Now, usually, a meeting where a special assessment is going to be discussed has to be properly noticed 14 days in advance.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what they're going to discuss, but if we're taking out this loan, it's got to either be another special assessment or a maintenance fee increase. We were
That's
already
right.
The
bank's going to require one or the other. That's correct. Okay, so, but let me cut you short because we got a lot of calls to take today. Okay, but let me tell you typically where these problems come in. At the beginning of the show, I said, you know, we have an attorney at the firm who's board certified in construction law, right?
Mm-hmm.
And why is that important? Why is it important to get an attorney to review what goes on? Because I'm getting the feeling, I don't know if the original contracts were actually looked at, but when you tell me that you're going into a job of this nature and you didn't even have an engineer in your corner, yeah, that bothers me, number one. Number two, and I don't know if this is the case. I can just tell you what I'm feeling from the conversation I'm having with you. I don't know if the contract with the contractor was reviewed. Typically, it's what's called a standard AIA contract that's used, that's given to you by the contractor. But we change the hell out of it. We put in there what we think is best for the client. Right. Oftentimes, we have clients present us with contracts where there's no start date. There's no completion date. There's no penalty clause for failing to complete by a certain date. Sometimes we even suggest the opposite, maybe a bonus clause to the contractor if he finishes before a certain date. What's the warranty provisions? What's the payment provisions?
There is no protection for the homeowners. There's
right,
too
exactly.
little
right.
age, nothing.
You
Not an A1A.
Times?
I know all about that.
Okay. We've seen contracts where, you know, 75% of the job is basically paid before the contractor even gets going.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for me to tell you, you know, the myriad of errors that might have been made here without actually seeing the contract. But, you know, it may be time to, A, certainly get an engineer, but, B, obtain competent counsel who may be able to help the association out of what
well,
seems
the
to
counsel
be a mess.
That will be coming to the meeting
yeah.
just says whatever the ladies want to hear.
Yeah.
So what I want to know at that meeting Wednesday night, and it's interesting enough because of the stop work order, this contractor has a magistrate meeting in the county
right.
because of what he's done.
Well,
but
there might have been a breach of contract at this point.
So
Hold on. Can they
accept that loan, which... ultimately means that we're going to be assessed without having properly noticed it to all unit owners 14 days in advance?
No, it should. It needs, if it's a special assessment, there's no question. It needs 14-day notice in advance. But the bottom line is once they sign on that dotted line with the bank, your association is going to be on the hook for that loan. But, sorry, we got to take our bottom of the hour break. Hope we answered at least some of your questions. Taking your calls, everybody. You guys are keeping me on my toes this morning.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
Is your home or condo looking old, worn out, and in need of a fresh look? Then you need PD Painting to paint your property and make it look like new again. PD Painting will first properly prepare your home and condo and then use only the highest quality paint products. After many years in the painting industry, PD Painting has achieved a reputation for always delivering a reliable and professional finish. PD Painting is fully licensed and insured and offers a 7 to 10 year warranty. Their technicians are expert craftsmen. Let PD Painting handle all the details and then sit back and watch them restore your property and bring back that brand new look and feel. Need a service call? PD Painting will be there on the spot. Need financing? PD Painting can offer that too. Call PD Painting at 888-416-3204. Again, that's 888-416-3204. Go to the website, pdpaintinginc.com. Need painting done in your home and community? Contact the experts at PD Painting.
Do you know the state of Florida has implemented new laws requiring websites for associations? And they haven't given you a lot of time to get it done. Good news. There's no need to worry, because the expert team at Easy Apps and its website division of Graphics Plus are ready to assess your needs and build a state-compliant site for your association. Board members, this is the right time to take advantage of digital technology and reduce your workload. You'll be able to increase awareness of community events in real time, save money on printing and mailing of newsletters and other documents, collect monthly dues from members of the community right from their phone, communicate with your management company, post notices and other documents, and so much more. And now, for a limited time, Easy Apps and its web design division is offering a discounted price when you order a website and app package, so you can be compliant by the July 2018 deadline. They'll take care of everything and complete the work in time and within budget. Get ready before the rush. Schedule an appointment today at 954-829-2273. That's 954-829-2273. Or visit graphics-plus.biz.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs, PA. He is taking your phone calls toll-free. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
Hey, before we go to the phones, Kelly writes in and wants to know if I can address Florida Statute 163.04 in regards to the ability of someone who lives in an HOA to, like, put solar collectors on their roof, right? Mm-hmm. Just like another caller we had earlier today.
Right.
So, yeah, it turns out there's a Florida statute called 163.04, and the name of the statute is Energy Devices Based on Renewable Sources. And here's what paragraph 2 says. So a deed restriction, covenant, declaration, right? So if you live in an HOA, you're covered by a declaration, so this statute applies, right? So a declaration or similar binding agreement may not prohibit or have the effect of prohibiting solar collectors, clotheslines, or other energy devices based on renewable sources from being installed on buildings erected on the lots or parcels covered by the deed restriction, covenant, declaration, or binding agreement. A property owner may not be denied permission to install solar collectors or other energy devices by any entity granted the power or right in any deed restriction, covenant, declaration, or similar binding agreement to approve, forbid, control, or direct alteration of property with respect to residential dwellings and within the boundaries of even a condominium.
Okay.
Unit. So even in your condo. However, such entity may determine the specific locations where the collectors may be installed on the roof.
So they don't show.
Yeah, within an orientation to the south or within 45 degrees east or west of due south, if the determination does not impair the effective operation.
Yeah,
so there it is.
Yeah, where the sun hits your house the most is where you want it.
Right, exactly. So basically, yes, you have the right, even in a condo, to do whatever you can to use solar power.
There's
and
two
yes,
things, though. In California, they passed a new law that any new construction has to have solar panels.
Really?
So they're
That's
ahead
amazing.
Of us.
Right, right.
In the Sunshine State. And we had a hurricane panel on Friday, and the FPL guy, because I asked him, what if I wanted to put solar panels up just so that it would be my generator for my refrigerator and my air conditioner if my power goes out? And he goes, it would interrupt the FPL lines.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's some. Yeah, I think you need to check with FPL before you put in your solar panels.
By the way, that reminds me, we had interesting conversations with FPL about 2 weeks ago. We're going to get them on the show, Karen.
Good.
As you know, our office drafted that statute that's going to allow unit owners to install, who have electric cars, to install
right.
stations, electric charging stations, at your parking space now. I mean, that's the law in Florida in another 2-3 weeks. And, you know, I got them on the phone and wanted to know, are you ready for this deluge that's about to happen
not.
In Florida? And the way it was explained to me, FPL is required by law to always be 10 years ahead of the curve. They have to let the legislature know, like, where they are, what how things are expected to be in 10 years, and always progressing towards their 10-year
plan.
That's hard. It is. And they claim, at least at this moment, yeah, they're on pace with their projections as to where they need to be 10 years. And they're ready to go. They're ready to start assisting buildings in putting in those electric vehicle charging stations. And we'll see how it works out. We will see. How about we go to Jack in St. Augustine? How are you, Jack?
I'm doing fine. And first of all, I want to thank you for this terrific program that you're providing. I have a couple questions. One is the number of board members. Our documents require a minimum of 5, maximum of 7.
Are you a condo or HOA?
It's an HOA. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, HOA. And the president has not made any effort to fill those positions. Can that be done at a member meeting?
Okay, what I would need to see exactly what your documents say. In other words, how is the number to be determined? Does it say the number to be determined, what, annually by the board of directors, the number to be determined by the unit owners?
Because annually.
But it doesn't say by whom?
It doesn't say, no. It's not okay. Specific. It's non-specific in that point.
Okay. So not much case law in this regard when it comes to HOAs, but there's a lot of case law when it comes to condos. And condos treat this a lot differently than HOAs. And I know your question's related to HOAs, so I'll get there. But
correct.
In a condo, right, when the documents allow for a range, like your documents have, like no less than X, no more than Y, right? No less than 3, no more than 7, right? It's a very typical provision in a set of documents. The
okay.
case law has determined that the number automatically is 5. Why? Because the condo statute says if your documents don't say a specific number, the number is 5. So arbitrators have said, well, these ranges from 3 to 7, 3 to 9, it doesn't allow for a specific number, so we're going to use the fallback provision of the statute. The statute says 5. Now, the difference with an HOA is there is no fallback number in the HOA statute. So I would think that it's probably going to be left up to the current board of directors how many people are to be on the next board of directors. So I would think the board can probably decide that going forward each and every year.
Okay, that might be a problem. Second question is regarding conflict of interest. One of the board members and director works for a company that provides services for the association.
Right.
They service air conditioning system at the clubhouse, and then he works for that company. Now, is there a conflict of interest there?
Yeah, same answer that I gave. I think Jerry started the show with that question. And
okay.
The bottom line is, as of July 1st, and the Florida legislature went back and forth on this for the last few years, but the bottom line is, as of July 1st, the board can do business with a company that a director may have a financial interest in if a couple of things are happen. Number one, that relationship has to be disclosed. Number two, that director does not vote on whether or not to go with that company he has a financial interest in. Two-thirds of the other directors have to vote in favor of it. And finally, the unit owners have a right to cancel that contract by a majority vote at the next unit owner meeting. Okay?
Okay.
Hope that answers your call.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jack, from St. Augustine all the way up there.
Love it.
Yeah, nice to see people that are listening hundreds of miles away, actually. That's great. So last show, Karen, we actually spoke about an association's failure to warn about snakes in the community. And if you remember, that resulted in a $5 million settlement against that association.
Yeah,
you know, we spoke about that.
Yeah, what was the snake, a water moccasin or something?
Yes, correct, yeah.
So, yeah, the association was warned about the snakes, but didn't do anything to get rid of them.
Right.
And this woman was walking out her door wall, and one was in the track.
Yes.
Bit her toe.
Terrible.
Lost her leg.
In an amputation. Yeah, it was an awful situation. And then today, I'm looking at the Sun Sentinel website right now, and unfortunately we all heard about, just an absolutely horrific incident that happened in Davie of a woman walking her two dogs, and suddenly she was gone, but the dogs were there. The dogs came home without their owner, and it turns out that the alligator dragged her into the lake. And
they found her arm in the gator.
Yeah, it was just horrible. So now, what's the Sun Sentinel reporting, and I'll just quote from a paragraph. It's unclear whether the 47-year-old woman whose body was recovered Friday night ever got the email from the Isla del Sol HOA in Plantation that urged residents to exercise caution with our families and pets, mindful that alligators, snakes, and other wildlife may be in the area. So here's an HOA who actually took that extra step.
Right.
And warned the people in the community to be careful. I guess the question becomes, if they knew about it, what action did they take to maybe get that gator out of there? Or were they required? Or did they own the lake? I don't know.
Well, they think that the gator ate a little poodle before.
Wow. So did they have an obligation to do something? I don't think so if they didn't own the lake. Probably not. They probably did all they possibly could. This might be a completely different situation.
Is it assumption of risk if they sent the email and she still goes out there?
Potentially, yes. I mean, I don't know if they could have done anything to keep this alligator from coming onto the land. Again, I don't know if they own the lake. Could you argue that they should have put barriers? I don't know. Certainly don't know enough about it at this point.
Well,
but apparently this association took that extra step, however, I'll say that, and tried to get in contact with everybody in the community, urging them to be careful.
Just everybody, so you know, it is alligator mating season, so you've got hurricane season and alligator mating season all at the same time.
Right.
And they are going to be out of their usual areas because they're looking to mate. So just be really careful out there, and they're going to be aggressive.
Right. And associations, be careful, and if you can possibly warn, why not? What's the harm in warning?
Right, right.
You know? Let's do this. Let's take our final break of the hour. Few minutes to take calls, everybody. Get them in quick. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Tired of the lousy quality and customer service from your current internet and telephone provider? Are your monthly bills continuing to go up while the level of service you receive goes down? There is a choice. Based in South Florida, OpticalTel is a fully integrated telecable company utilizing advanced fiber optic technology to deliver video, internet, and telephone service to condominiums and homeowners associations throughout Florida, all at a great price. OpticalTel has defined itself as a leader within the MDU marketplace, providing fiber optics in your home or unit. OpticalTel covers the entire gamut of video, internet, and telecommunication deployment within the condominium and HOA marketplace. Call us before you sign that long-term bulk contract. OpticalTel is the clear choice for video, internet, and phone from beginning to end. Call 1-800-30-FIBER. That's 1-800-30-FIBER. 1-800-30-FIBER. Or visit us at OpticalTel.com.
Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service, and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget, so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Visit our website at bestroofing.net.
Is your condominium starting to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Are pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making the building look ugly and putting your residents at risk? Are you in need of your 40-year certification for your building? If so, you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or painting and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. After all, we're South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor and have been located in Delray since 1979. We know how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate. 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700.
Or visit the website, cdri.net. Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? Driveway Maintenance can help. We are the largest seal coating company in the United States and have been an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let Driveway Maintenance pave the way and make your community look great. At Driveway Maintenance, we believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Our customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, and of course, condominium and homeowner associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. Driveway Maintenance, Inc. is a LEED accredited, Green Advantage certified, environmentally responsible, full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. Driveway Maintenance serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call Driveway Maintenance for a free estimate at 1-800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. And you can visit our website at driveway.com.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Hey, welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. We are almost out of time. I think we have one call, and Eric wants to talk about his seminars, too.
You know, believe it or not, even though we just finished a very, very busy, busy season of teaching.
It's never ending.
People are still want to know, hurry up, when's the next one? When's the next one? So really quick, we'll go over our schedule. It's out, and you can register for any of these seminars on our website already, again, just by going to condocrazeandhoas.com. Just remember, the law now provides board members got to get certified, and you got to do it within 90 days of getting on the board or you're off the board. So, Karen, how about we run through the schedule really quick, and believe it or not, these classes sell out in advance,
Oh, yeah.
And that's why we put them up there months in advance.
Yeah, but it's going to be fast. Look how fast time is going. October 2nd, Palm Beach Convention Center at
now,
the Eleanor.
Absolutely. Look at this month. Okay.
Yeah.
October 2nd, Palm Beach and Convention Center. The very next day, look where I got to be.
October
3rd, Orlando Convention Center.
You
right?
Are
at the LNL
condo. Glutton for punishment.
Wait, look at the next day.
Broward.
Broward Convention Center. So I haven't figured out how to do this
how
yet.
How are you doing? You're going to get a helicopter.
Right? Palm Beach, Orlando, Broward, October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
And those are all at 8:30.
At 8:30 in the morning. So, hey, you know, my partner Rich looks like me.
Yes.
We may have to fool some people.
You're
right?
Right. Send him to Orlando.
Exactly. I have a feeling we're going to do that.
He looks just like you. Okay. Exactly. October 9th, 8:30, the James L. Knight Center at the LNL Condo and HOA. That would be in Miami.
Right, and so that's in Miami, correct?
Yeah.
And then the next day, Bradenton.
You're such
the Bradenton Convention Center at the LNL Condo and HOA Expo.
And then October 26th, bless your heart, Tampa Convention Center, LNL Condo and HOA. So Eric teaches so many different topics at the seminar. I love his seminars. He's actually certified over 12,000 Floridians. It's amazing. And he also talks about the from time to time language, the importance of that, official records, different types of documents that govern your community. You know, you've got the docs and you've got the, what is it?
You got the statutes. You've got the administrative code. There's a lot to know.
Service and emotional support animals. That's a biggie. Collections manager responsibilities. All of the new laws that were passed this year and a lot more. Food, delicious food. It's free. Served. Everyone walks out with a frameable certificate. Certainly a little wiser, and it's all free.
Yeah, just go to condocrazeandhoas.com to register. And believe me, do it in advance. All right, how about we take a quick call? Someone from Hollandale. Is it Julia? Julia from Hollandale.
Good afternoon. Thanks for your show. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your son, Bar Mitzvah.
Thank you very
much. I need to communicate with with the management office, and they sometimes insist on sending certified mail, which takes a long time, and it's just a drag, and I'm right next door to the office. I would like to officially say that email communication is sufficient as a legal means of delivering the information in both ways.
Tell Hillary Clinton that.
Yeah, right. All right. Really quick, Julia. Here's the law on emails. So the document, the statutes require that if you're going to make requests for access to records, it's got to be done in writing. So the question is email a writing? And the answer, unfortunately for you, is no. However, there's a case out there, okay, an arbitration case that says even though emails are not a writing, if you send an email to a manager, right, and the manager acknowledges receipt of your email and says, I got it. And as a matter of fact, we're going to go and we're going to get those records for you. We're going to assemble them. And they, again, acknowledge your email and they act as if you've given them a writing. They can't say, got you when you sue them for not giving you access to those records because you should have submitted a writing, and an email is not a writing. An arbitrator held that he's not going to allow an association and a manager to do that to somebody who sent in the request for an email where the manager acknowledged it and acted as if it were a writing. And the association wouldn't turn over the records, and the arbitrator hit the association with the penalty, hit them with an injunction requiring them to turn over the records, and hit them with prevailing party attorney's fees to the unit owner. So, yes, if you send it and they act on it, they got to give you access to those records.
And the acknowledgement has to be in the form of an email, or if I stop in the office and say, did you receive my email? And
if they tell you they're going to act on it, right, they tell you they're going to act on it, then the bottom line is they have to act on it, and they can't play the game of gotcha later on by saying, nope, sorry, you should have did it by writing. But, Julia, sorry, that just about ends the show. We are out of time. Everybody,
Thanks. Thank
you for your wonderful comments today. Thank you for your congratulations to Brandon and for me. Much, much appreciated. It was a pleasure answering everybody's questions today. And we will see you and speak to you again next Sunday at 11 a.m. on Condo Craze and HOAs. Karen, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good week, everybody.
Okay, bye-bye.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations, and we are the clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your insurance program, call now 954-640-6225 and ask for Greg Waltz. 954-640-6225, Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group. Let us protect your association.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.